First of all, Mr. Mukhtar, I know you were listening to President Ahmadinejad's speech right there. He referred to the opposition to the Islamic Revolution, which started from the very first day that the revolution achieved victory and is continuing to today. And we also know, I was reading about the history of the revolution, you might also know that the U.S. also had a hand in trying to bring back the deposed Shah to Iran, although the people had voted for an Islamic Republic, organizing coups. So what is the root cause of this opposition to Iran?
Well, it goes back many thousands of years, and it's not a new thing. The West has been given the wrong impression over the last two centuries about what Iranians are capable of and who they are. And they have rather gotten beside themselves, and they have overstepped their boundaries. They have quickly swept under the carpet, and that the major advances in technology they received initially came from the world of Islam. And in fact, the leading scholars only 300 or 400 years ago belonged to the world of Islam. So all of this is quickly swept under the carpet, and it's thick-lied over with a load of nonsense and fabrications from Greek history, and is used to put Iran down. Now, also even on the name, we were called Persia, they're now called Iran. No, we're not now called Iran. We were called Iran 3,000 years ago, but we were called Iran Shahr, not the Persian Empire, not Persepolis, what the Greeks called us. We were called Iran Shahr, and now we're called Iran. We are a multicultural society. We're determined to go forward, and demonstrate to the world that the wrong impression created by the Western media about Iran and Iranians is indeed a falsification, and that they have to reform their own societies and their own ideologies in order to accept other nations as equals. Anyone who's lived out in the West is fully aware of the rampant racism that goes on. Just because a black man becomes a U.S. president doesn't mean there is no racism. There are many other races which are being subjected to humiliation. Islam is under full-scale assault by the Western powers, and you know, quite frankly, the power is slipping away from them. Their capitalist project is a total failure. The U.S. has crossed the $7.5 trillion threshold of immediate debts, which was set for it, for its financial system to work, which is based on debt. It is now $14.3 trillion in immediate debt, $60 trillion in long-term debts. And the only way they can make their financial system stand up is if they come to the Middle East and take over the entire energy reserves in the region. And this is their aim. Everything else, all the hue and cry, all the chit-chat is nonsense. This is the aim of the United States, and other world powers have recognized this, and they're not going to give in to this. The world has had enough of the unilateral, cruel policies of the English-speaking world, and its double standard approach to their own and anyone outside their false little plastic world.
Mr. Mukhtar, thanks very much for that. But joining us now for the next question is Mr. Franklin Lam, who joins us from Beirut. Mr. Lam, I want to ask you, how do you see the influence of the Islamic Revolution in the region as a whole? What was the difference between the Iran before the revolution and after the revolution?
Well, for sure, the difference in a word is resistance. Because of Iran, which is the center of resistance, not only in this part of the world, but I think increasingly globally, we've seen a culture now of resistance, an era of resistance, a basic attitude of resistance, which is certainly affecting Palestine. And I would go as far to say, it may not be a popular view, but I think we're seeing the effects among the American public as increasingly they are rejecting Iraq, Afghanistan, and this provocations against Iran. Yesterday, Harry Reid, the Speaker of the leader of the Senate, met with the White House, and he basically told Obama that the American administration must attack Iran in order to rally the American people around the flag. Unless he rallies the people in a war, another war, then Obama will lose the United States Senate. He will lose the House of Representatives in the coming elections, and he will be a one-term president. So in this, the Zionist lobby and the leaders of the Democratic Party and the Congress are pressuring the White House to attack Iran. It's a question, an open question, whether or not Obama will have the strength to resist those urgings. But I say that today, on the 31st anniversary, there has never been a more dangerous time for Iran for outside aggression.
Well, Mr. Lama, you did refer to those remarks by President Obama. Like yesterday, he threatened Iran with further sanctions over Iran's nuclear program, the fact that Iran has said it's going to enrich, it has actually enriched uranium to the 20% level. So he's at the same time talking about sanctions. He at the same time said the door to dialogue is open. So where is this policy going to lead? Will he eventually, I mean, you said he's under pressure to attack Iran even, but do you think that this policy of threats and sanctions is going to work with Iran?
No, they won't work. They'll just squeeze the people, as they squeeze the people in Iraq for years. The American people, the international community, will reject these sanctions. The regime in the government of Iran will survive. It will probably get stronger as it's able to argue that, look what the West is doing. The danger is war. And I'm not an alarmist, but I keep in touch with Congress. I've worked there for 12 years. The pressure is excruciating now in Washington by the Zionists. Just take that vote the other day, a very major vote that is almost a declaration of war. Who was in the Senate? 3 members. McCain wanted to make it tougher. AIPAC pulled him to the side and said, don't you dare mess up this bill. So that's, you know, that's the crosshairs that we're in. So I'm not, the sanctions, no, they will not have an effect. But it will increase the drumbeat for war, and that's the very great danger that I see today.
Well, Mr. Lam, we're speaking about the 31st anniversary of the Islamic Revolution today, as you know. And one thing that's really highlighted today is the fact that Iranians were after independence, and they got this independence from a regime that was dependent on the West, and specifically the U.S. Iran has become what it calls itself, a totally independent regime. How has this independence-seeking aspect of the revolution influenced other revolutionary thinking in the region, in the world as a whole?
Oh, I think enormously. Look at Lebanon. Look at Gaza and Palestine. The Americans tried the same tactics in Lebanon and failed because of the resistance. They tried to split the Sunni, the Shia, the different factions, and they're trying the same thing now in Iran. I think it will fail there as well. But I say that the importance of the Islamic Revolution is that it ushered in this culture of resistance, of the push for independence, for self-determination. Included in that is the absolute right and responsibility to resist. And we see it spreading around the region, and again, I think, even across the oceans. So I think in terms of modern history, there is probably no more singular important event than the Islamic Revolution of 3 decades ago.
And also, Mr. Lamba, how do you see the U.S.'s role in the middle of all this? I was speaking to Mr. Mukhtari here in the studios, and we were speaking about how this opposition to the revolution started from the very first day of the revolution.
Yes.
You know, like the threats and the coups and the threats of military actions. Do you think that was the right path? And if it wasn't, why is it still continuing after 31 years?
Yes. Well, interesting question. First of all, I agree absolutely with your guest. I think his analysis is spot on. We're continuing with this policy in Iran because there isn't the willingness to break with Zionism. We have, as our guest probably has studied in America, so many in the West, so many Iranians have, we have a natural affinity as a people for one another. We've been blocked from realizing the complete fruition of that because of our addiction to Zionism. Every hour that passes, the American public becomes